Every distress, I call upon you, God. I know that you hear me. My cry comes before you. I see your face. God, you are my strength and my love. I see your face. Oh, Lord, you are mighty. To the top, let's sing it again. In every distress,
in every distress. call upon you, God.
Oh, I know that you hear me.
I know that you hear me. My cry comes before you.
I seek your face.
I seek your face. God, you are my strength and my rock.
Yes, yes.
I seek your face.
Father, we are thankful. The Lord, you are doing what needs to be done quickly. You bring into pass your word for our lives. We just started a new year, and we're already in the second month. This second month is going to be done in another 2 weeks. Time seems to be moving so fast. The news is moving fast. Things are happening all around us fast. Lord, speedify. Do in us and with us glorious things. Help us, Father, not to waste any moment. May we redeem the times. Help us, Father. Grant us wisdom, the discernment, the grace to make right decisions, right connections for your glory. Be exalted in us and through us, Father. Thank you that you're the God who's met every need in our lives according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, you may be seated. I'm going to be sitting today. We had a good television broadcast the other day. I think it was on Monday or so. And this table was set then for that. And I thought, well, I'm moving it. Let's just keep it. And we'll use it because I want this time to be a time for us to discuss through the Word of God, through this book of Proverbs. It's a powerful book. It's a book that I believe is going to cause us to be transformed in so many ways. Our thinking is going to change. If by the end of this book, our thinking has not changed, then we are not changeable. Everybody is going to change in one way or the other. You and I will be wiser, more discerning, more focused. And I believe that when we do that, it impacts every aspect of our lives. We'll find out as we study through this book that there is nothing like it's too late. As long as you have breath, you can still change. When the willingness of heart is there, and change can bring about a great difference. But so that we don't make many mistakes, because the more mistakes you make, the more problems you have to find resolution for, it's important to seek the wisdom of God, not only to correct things that have been wrong, but not to generate errors in our lives that become stumbling blocks. When you are young and you are in elementary and high school, and sometimes even up to college, but mostly those early teen years, you think the friends that you have right now are going to be your friends forever. And your world is built around all of that. And when somebody tells you, you know, these people that you're hanging around, and you think this is the beginning and the ending of your world, this one is going to go here and you're going to be left with only the true principles of life that you've learned to continue life. You think your parents have lost it. They don't know what they're talking about. But the reality is, I'm not with any of the friends that I had when I was in high school. They are all over the place. And the same might be true with every one of us here. But the kind of relationships that you build can impact your life, even when everybody's gone. So the Word of God tells us here, starting from reading from verse 6, I think we got up to verse 6 last time. And the first part of the book of Proverbs, it's about the content or the summation of what you're going to find in the book. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is the only book that does that. In all of scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, other than Revelation gives you an idea, you know, things that were and things that are and things that are going to be. This book gives you a breakdown. And one of the expectations he tells us you need to come up, you're going to come across, is to understand a proverb and the interpretation. I want you to be able to understand proverbs and interpretations. Now, most of our dreams come up as proverbs. So if you're going to be able to understand, have an impartation to understand proverbs or hidden words and the interpretation of it, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, then this book is for you. There is going to be an impartation upon our lives to understand. The word is the word bene, which means to be discerning of proverbs and their interpretation. Joseph was able to understand the dreams of the Pharaoh, understood the interpretation of it, and then the words of the wise, the application of what you just heard. Because it's not enough just to understand the proverb, interpret it. Now, what are you going to do with it? Because one of the things that we've got to get across is this. Just like dreams, because something is said doesn't necessarily mean that is what God's will is. Let me say that again. Because God shows you something doesn't necessarily mean that is the will of God. That statement that was made is supposed to happen exactly the way it was said. You still have some level of power to change things. The prophet Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and says, get your house ready, you're going to die. That was the word of the Lord. Did it change? It changed. So things can change. Let me say that again. Things can change. There are times when the Lord has shown something to me about something about to happen, and I begin to intercede concerning it, and it changes. You can say, well, God gave me a prophetic word that this is going to happen. It must happen that way so that nobody calls me a false prophet. I said, this person is going to die. They must die. No, I can pray and ask for mercy. God intervene. Bring a solution to this situation. Let's have a different end result, because it's not about me. And what I said came to pass or didn't come to pass, it's about God. You've shown something. If this doesn't change, this is going to happen. This is the road that you're traveling on. You're going in this particular direction on Portage Avenue, and you're heading which way? West. You're going to end up in Brandon. Oh, but I don't want to go to Brandon. Well, if you keep on going on this highway, you're going to end up in Brandon. Where I want you to go is Kenora. So God will show you alternative ways to get in the right direction. And that's what the book of Proverbs is. It's telling us, this is where you're going, this is where you're going to end, but if you make some tweaks, you're going to change course. Amen? It says, the fear of the Lord, this is the beginning of it. It's beginning to change. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's going to tell us later it's the beginning of wisdom. But it starts out here by saying it is the beginning, the era, or era, of knowledge. The knowledge of what? Of who God is, of who you are, of what your world looks like, what is happening, having an understanding of where you are, knowing where you're starting from. For example, if I want to go to Polo Park, to the Polo Park Mall, I must identify where I am right now, my starting point. My starting point from this address and the way I drive to get to Polo Park is different from how Brother Byron is going to drive from his house. So the beginning of wisdom is, first and foremost, recognizing that this is your starting point. I'm starting from this point. If you don't have the fear and the reverence of God, which means you have not acknowledged God, then you're going to be spinning your wheels all over the place. You've got to have a starting point. And God is saying, your starting point has to be with knowing God. He says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Ah, we're getting a clearer understanding of what God says knowledge is then. It is wisdom and instruction. Wisdom, the ability to hear God and to do what God is instructing you to do by the act of obedience. You are a knowledgeable person when you are attentive to the will of God and following through with it, following His instruction. That's true knowledge. Wow. He says, what fools despise. This, Forget that. I'm going to do whatever it is I want to do, how I want to do it. I don't care what God thinks about it. I don't care what anybody else thinks about it. I'm my own self, and I will do my own thing. That kind of arrogance will get you to the place of total disaster. No matter how high you go in life, it just takes a little thing to get you crashing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the what? Beginning. It's the beginning. This is where you start. I'm starting in God, with God, by His directives, and I follow Him and listen for His instructions. That is the right thing to do. The Bible tells us about an old prophet and a young prophet. God spoke to this young prophet and told him, I want you to go and I want you to deal with this situation that's happening out there. And when you get there, just do what I want you to do. Don't even sit down there and eat or anything like that. Just keep on going. Don't come back the same way you got there. Prophet gets there and did his thing. The king is upset with him. The king's hand freezes. He leaves. An older prophet comes after him and says, listen, you just did exactly what God said for you to do. It's okay to come back. The young prophet foolishly goes back, and when he gets back, he sits down and eats, and the old prophet stands up and tells him, man, you're going to die. A lion is going to eat you. Basically kill you, rather, but won't eat you. But but you told me that God said that I should come back. Well, you are foolish to listen to that, because God said to you, don't come back. And the God who told you, and please listen to this, this is important. The God who told you not to come back, not to eat in this town, if you were wise and you had a true fear of God, then you would have talked to that God first to say, I'm getting another instruction here. Is this what you are saying? Because I just want to do what you want done. Why is that passage in the scriptures? To teach us how to listen and how to relate. It goes on. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. We'll come back to this particular verse again as we go further in the book. He says, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. This will be the crown of favor on your life. You listening to the instructions of your father and not forsaking the law of thy mother. This is going to be grace over your head. It's going to crown you and chains about thy neck. Now, the statement and chains about thy neck has two aspects to it. First aspect is like having a neck chain as a decoration, just like a crown is. But the second aspect of this word here is translated chain, is like a chain, a leech. When you listen to the instructions of your father and to the laws of your mother, your father's voice and your mother's voice will speak to you. This is not how you were raised. Don't do that. Not just the word of God, but how you were raised. When you're raised by a proper father or mother, that will speak to your life and help you make right decisions. Your father and mother are not there first and foremost to be your friends. They are there to instruct you, to teach you, to bring you to a place where you are aware and discerning. And that's why we must pray for fathers and mothers, that whatever it is that they have to bring to us, help us in life. I was talking to one of my spiritual daughters not too long ago, maybe about 5 or 6 months ago. I had not talked to her for a while. And I was inquiring about different ones in the family. And she told me this and told me that, and I told me this and I told me that. And I said, "You're not going to like me after this. I could care less. But let me tell you what. You're doing all the wrong things and not helping those children the way you're acting. You're not instructing them right. They are grown, but they are going to fail because they don't have the capacity to stand by themselves. Because you're doing everything for them, and they're living life like you owe them something. This is not going to help you. This is not going to help them because you are not always going to be here for them. So you better start teaching them right now what the right thing to do is so that they can stand on their own 2 feet." Sometimes we think we are helping, and we're not. Parents many times, especially of people that come from well-to-do families, find that their children are spoiled because they give them everything and they have no challenges, nothing to resolve. And they don't give them proper instruction. You know, from when they wake up to when they go to sleep. I was one of those. I didn't know how to put gas in a car. I was in my 20s in the U.S. I could drive. And I've been driving for the longest time. I had my own vehicles to drive when I was back home. Came from a well-to-do family. If the car stops, I get off the car, take a taxi, and find one of our drivers to go get the car and take care of it. Because I just drove. So when I got to the States and I had a car, I stayed by the gas station and watched other people put the gas into their car to figure out how to do it. That wasn't helping me. When I look back now, I cringe at the kind of decisions I made and what kind of waste I engaged in because I didn't have the capacity to handle anything. I had to grow up. And God's word teaches us here, parents, not just children, listen to what your fathers have to say. Parents have to have that instruction. That's what basically I'm saying. You have to have that instruction. Mothers have to have that love if they're not going to forsake it. He says, my son, this is where it leads to. First thing, that instruction has to do with, it's about what kind of friends you make. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. In other words, let's unite together and rob somebody. Don't go work for it. Steal it. So don't listen. Don't go that way. What is this about? Relationships. Be careful about the relationships that you engage yourselves with. Because those relationships are going to determine your future. Every one of us seated here right now can attest to how the relationships we have put in place have affected us in one way or the other. I grew up seeing my dad my dad, don't make the mistake of thinking my dad was a bad dad. No, he was not, nothing like that. I saw my dad drive home with vehicles, and it was a surprise. To us, the children, surprise to our mom, surprise to everybody. That's what they did. He just shows up with a Mercedes Benz. Yeah. Shows up with whatever vehicle he wanted to show up with. So when I got married, I showed up with a vehicle. Because that's what I had sin. I just showed up with a vehicle. I didn't discuss it with Mama and say, well, I'm thinking, we should buy a car or whatever. I just showed up with it. And now and then, every 10 or something years, the story will come. That's how you went and bought that car. I went and I bought it with another friend. Because that's what my dad will do. But that was then. That was a different place. So now, when I try to buy another car, thank God I didn't buy that one. It was, an Aztec. An Aztec. And I told Mama about it. I liked the Aztec because, it had in the trunk part there was this glass, and you can see, the ground on the other side. That's why I like the Aztec. Mama said, Aztec? No, I don't like the name. I said, but I like the car. So I got a friend to come with me to try to convince Mama that we should buy the Aztec. Nope, we're not buying that. Why do you have to be stubborn like this? Just let me buy the car. I like the car. Nope. Do you want us to buy a car? Yes, but not that one. I don't like the name and I don't like it. But I like it. I'm going to be driving it. Nope, we're not buying it. And thank God we did not buy it. It was the wrong vehicle. I see the Aztec today. I said, oh my Lord, that's what I wanted to buy? Like that? No. We ended up with a Rendezvous. There's a better vehicle. I paid the exact same price for the Rendezvous that I would have paid for the Aztec. Came up with a better deal. And I think I drove 2 Rendezvous before I changed. What am I saying? My friends liked it, but Mama did not like it. Friends, not that I'm saying that those friends were bad friends, but friends can influence you. They have a powerful force because they are your peers, they are people that you relate with, and they will support you in all kinds of funny things. Like the one who supported me when I struggled financially and I was his pastor. Because I was an assistant associate pastor at the church where he attended. And he was going through something and we had him in our house. And I was telling him, saying, yeah, I'm going through some financial situation. And he said to me, do you tithe? I said, yeah, I do. He said, that's your problem now. That's your problem. You should not tithe. And then solve your financial problems. And if you want to tithe later, then maybe you should. He said, I don't tithe. He's telling his pastor, I don't tithe. I didn't say anything. But guess what I did? I stopped tithing. And that was the biggest mistake I'd ever made. Everything in my house started falling apart. Everything. It dawned on me, not tithing was costing me more money than tithing. I repented, laid hands on the things that were falling apart, and got them healed. Praise the Lord. You say, that's funny. What do you mean? Things got healed? Yes. I've seen transmissions fixed by laying on of hands. I've seen all kinds of miracles, brother. But wrong friends will lead you to pursue positions that will end up costing you. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you get in any kind of counsel and you cannot go back and say to God, speak in front of God, that this is what I am doing and it is founded on truth, I don't care what friend that friend is, how smart you think they are, don't do it. Don't do it. First place you must start must be with God. Having a fear of God a reverence of God, which is something that we are missing in the body of Christ today. It's just not there. The reverence of God, the awe and the honor for God. It will cause you to listen to foolishness. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Let's go rip somebody else off. In Nigeria, they call it 419. Let's rip somebody else off. Steal something. Kill somebody. Take their stuff. That's how you end up in jail. That's how you end up in the streets. Wrong friends. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Let's have one purse. Liars. There's no such thing as let's have one purse. When you are already stealing from somebody, we'll fill our houses. One side of your mouth will fill our houses with the spoil. And the other side of your mouth will have one purse. How can you have one purse and fill your houses at the same time? Somebody's going to be messing with somebody else. Wrong relationships. We have to be very careful what kind of friends we make, who it is that we're connected with. Expose that lie. Or else you find yourself in a place of great pain. He says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Don't go with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Stay away. But I won't have any friends. It's better for you not to have those kind of friends. People who will deceive you to do things. And you know what? It's not just about doing bad things. Sometimes people will remove you from what is meant to be a blessing in your life. When I think about it, there are people who are in ministry today, not unlike these guys that we just talked about. The reason they are in ministry is just to rip somebody else off. It is a business for them. It's not a calling. Oh, they come to church and they count heads. Wow, if everybody here gives $10, wow, there must be money here. I can start a church and make money. Well, you find yourself in hot water pretty soon because you find out with that money comes a lot of headaches. If you're not called to serve in a particular capacity, help somebody else. Don't start something because you think there's money in it. You find yourself with lots of headaches, lots of pain. You have the wrong motivation. Oh, my friend started church over there and he's doing well. And that one started this, and that one started this, and that one started this, and that one started that. Is that what God said for you to do? If God didn't tell you to do it, don't do it. I didn't start this work by myself. I started because of God's instruction. And when God gave me the instruction, I was so scared. Didn't want to do it. But I knew God said, if God wants me to do this, then he's going to have to help me. And he did. And with the ups and the downs, he's been faithful. It's not wearing me out. Because I'm not doing it in my own strength. I didn't call myself to it. I can boldly come and lay before the Lord and say, God, I didn't ask for this. You brought me into this. Now you got to take care of this trouble. Because I could have been doing something else. You came and grabbed me by the neck and you said, do this, and I'm hearing it. You cannot leave me. You said you will never leave me nor forsake me. God, you got to... Well, if I called myself, who am I going to talk to? Who? You going to go talk to God when he didn't send you the message? Go to the friends that sent you the message and said, come, let us do it together. We'll have one purse. And that goes for anything. I talk about the pastoral because I'm a pastor. I talk about the church because I'm in the church. But it could go about business. You know, I see people, you know, somebody starts a business. And everybody wants to do the same business. And then they complain that the business is not going well. And the amazing thing is that the people who complain about business not going well and everybody's doing the same business started the business because they saw somebody else doing the same business. Are you complaining about yourself? This person started a fashion, boutique. And then you started the same thing to compete with them, and now somebody else thinks there's money in it because somebody else started it. Now you are all complaining. Everybody's in the boutique business. What is this? They are cutting the price down. I can't make any money. Well, did you hear from God before you started that business? Why are you complaining? Let somebody else start again. Survival of the fittest. So it goes every which way. So what's the point? Point is still the same. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, wisdom, and instruction. And God says, first thing we've got to start with is, what kind of relationships are you connected to? Check your friends. Who are you talking to? Check that. Does that mean because somebody started a business, you cannot do the same business? No. Start with God. Obviously, Glory and Peace Church has not been here for 2,000 years. It got started at a particular time. But what cannot be said was that glory and peace started because glory and peace saw some other church and some other person that started a church and decided to start a church. Cannot say that. Why did it start? Because God said, start. That's it. That is it. That's the bottom line. But having said that, I was visiting with a dear friend, I guess about 2 weeks ago. And I remember him very well, and I acknowledged him. I said, you know what? My very first television broadcast or showing happened because of you. And I gave him the time, you know, at that time we had Vidion television. It was at the corner of Stafford and Pembina at that time. I was new in the country, maybe about a year. And he'd invited me to come and to be on his program. And I was on that program with him. And that was a catalyst. Because I asked him up front, God had spoken to me, you should be on television. So I asked him up front, I said, brother, thank you for inviting me to this television program. How do I get one? How do I get on television? And he told me, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is what you do. I got on top of it. And a few weeks later, I had my own television program, which was called then Message of Deliverance. And we started Message of Deliverance. Even when we were still, when we were here, we moved into this building, I was still doing Message of Deliverance. And Vidion used to bring their cameras here. After they canceled every other program, including my first program, Calvary Temple, every other religious program was canceled. They kept mine because it was not born out of copying. It was born out of following a direction. And I said to my friend, my dear brother, I said, you know what? If you'd not started me out that day, I don't think I'll be on television because I won't know how. He said, brother, no. I think God would have found somebody else to get you on. That might be true, but you're the one who obeyed God to help me. And when I was not going to go on, when God wanted me to go on a broader scale, and Vidion was gone, and God wanted me to be on television, you've heard me tell this story, how he told me in August, by September, if you are not on television, I will have to look for somebody else. What? I don't have cameras other than these ones that I bought for the internet. I don't know any television stations to carry me. What are you saying, Lord? This is what I'm saying. You get on television. So how do I get on? Call Miracle Channel. Miracle Channel. So I called Miracle Channel. And Miracle Channel, I told them the story about what God told me. They said, oh, we're going to help you. And we had, I think we still have those. One of these days, we should bring those garage lights that we use at the very beginning. Up there in my office, all you could see, I think, was my teeth. The lighting was terrible. It was the worst, but they put it on the air just to make sure that I get on and told me what I needed to do. You need to get lights, brother. And this kind of lights. So we had to trust God, and the money came. We bought lights, and I think we still have some of those lights upstairs. That's how we got on there. First chairs that we used were donated by a friend of mine, you know, that has a furniture store. We used to use his building for church. How we paid to be on the air, I can't tell you. How we still pay until today, I can't tell you. But from once a month or once a week, we are on now every day of the week, twice a day. How do we do that? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. You let God direct you, and you'll arrive at the proper destination. I remember one time we were about $20,000 in the red with the television program. I said, God, am I going to pay this bill? You said I should do this. I'm doing it. I have these bills. I cannot be in this kind of position. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And sure enough, boom, 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 boom. Ups, downs, up, downs. It doesn't matter. You know, the up and down of life means that you're still alive. If you flatline, you're dead. But have the right relationship. First of all, that relationship has to be first and foremost with God and His directives. Friends come and go. They're here one day, and tomorrow they're somewhere else. Everybody minding their own business. There's nothing like, let's have one purse. It's a lie. Just trust God. We'll stop there today. We'll start out from verse 17 next time, because it's a very interesting verse. After all the things we've talked about and read about, it simply says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. What does that mean? In a nutshell, when you're walking in wisdom, you don't get trapped, because everything is like you see it when the enemy is setting it. When you have the fear of God, you always have an above all perspective. Somebody wants to hurt me. I know it before they do. And so when they shoot that bullet, I'm not there. I saw the net, so I don't get trapped by it. I must look unto Him who is author and finisher of faith, by first being a person who has a fear of God, but also comes to a place where you're a friend of God and Son of God who serves is a place of power. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, without you we can do nothing. We ask, O God, that you expose all the entrapments that the enemy has set. We ask, O God, that we escape every single one of them because we are following your instructions and we are not breaking, disobeying, resisting your guidance. We receive supernatural wisdom and insight. Forgive us for every sin, every transgression, every error, every iniquity. And help us day by day make godly decisions so that your faith is truly established in us and with us. Help us live life to the full. We trust you, Father. We trust you with all that we are and all that we'll ever be. Blessed be your holy name forever. Most High God, in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you. Thank God for every one of you that took time to be here tonight. May the Lord continue to guide every one of us and help us make right, discerning decisions for his glory and honor. Let us honor God now with our giving. As we obey God concerning our giving, may his blessings be richly bestowed upon us in every area. Look forward to seeing you on Friday for prayer meeting, and of course on Sunday for another powerful time together in the presence of the Lord. God bless you richly. Good night. Is there anyone on Zoom?